You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the second night. It's going to feel like two nights by the time we get done with this show, with the content we're forced to cover this evening because of current events. You know, I was planning to have a guest from the United Kingdom come on this evening to help us continue our coverage of Brexit, the British decision to exit the European Union. We were going to continue to celebrate that story with a firsthand perspective from the UK. Unfortunately, diversity and multiculturalism has raised its head again in America, and the results are absolutely tragic. So, as you know, during tonight's broadcast, we spent the first hour with Sean Bergen, who helped us break down the facts of this story and also offer his treatment on the media's take on this incident. Later on in this hour, Jared Taylor will be with me to examine exclusively the racial angle in play. And I know we've had a lot of people trying to call in and get on the program tonight. The entire show is chock full of guests, so you will not be able to get through this evening, I'm afraid. We do have now with us, though, Jim Lancia. Jim Lancia, former police officer, now Political Cesspool's criminal justice correspondent. He also has a show on YouTube, Cop Shootout, and, of course, he is the author of the book, Downtown White Police, available at Amazon.com. Order your copy tonight. Jim, people now know, of course, the facts of what happened in Dallas from your position as a former member, a career lifer in the law enforcement profession. How did you react to all of this?
Well, I'm not as surprised as some people may think. A lot of cops, active cops, retired cops, are almost expecting it. Not in this magnitude, though. 12 cops shot in one day in one city, 5 dead. It's a real tragedy. But almost, I'm not surprised because of the climate, the political climate. You got the Black Lives Matter, you got Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Black Panthers, Obama, Lynch, Clinton, Louis Farrakhan, all using the same race-baiting tactics, and they're all exasperating the whole problem. They're almost giving fuel to the fire and making it a true legitimate argument when it really is a farce. As far as the Black Lives Matter, we have to start, cops are going to have to start looking at them as a terrorist organization, just like the Black Panthers. I mean, you got the Black Panthers going around saying kill pigs, marching with, their AR-15s down the street openly like that. Black Lives Matter is becoming truly disruptive, and they're getting more and more dangerous, and I think it's just going to get worse and worse, especially with our politicians giving credence and always backing them up with, oh, we have to talk about race. Every time something happens between a white officer and a black suspect. Now, here's the thing. I think we're rewarding them. We're rewarding this criminal behavior by saying we always need to fundamentally change law enforcement after each and every police shooting, whether they talk about federalization or use of force policies. What people don't realize is there's already the use of force policies in police departments. There's all kinds of rules of engagement. Cops aren't just told to strap on a gun and go shoot a black guy if they want to, and they're going to get away with it. There's all kinds of repercussions. There's all kinds of rules of engagement. And there's nothing new that can be added that would make anything any better for blacks in this country or make the cop any safer. Actually, any more rules of engagement for use of lethal force will only endanger the officer even further. So far, that's my take on what the fallout of this right now.
Yeah, all of these blacks that are at least pretending. I think they have to be pretending. I think they just don't care. They're looking for a reason to go out and be lawless and to be savage. But the ones that fit into that mold, that are pretending that you have these white police officers that are just going around, and looking for blacks to shoot, to assassinate like dogs, you know, the odds are 99.9% that if you are being pulled over by a police officer, if you behave like you should when you are being questioned by a police officer, 99.9% you're going to walk away from that. You may be arrested, but you're not going to die. All right. So this notion that you have these racist white cops just trolling around, it's all over America, they're just looking for blacks to kill. No. I mean, obviously, that's such a farce. That's so disconnected from reality, it doesn't even deserve commentary. But this is what the Black Lives Matter people are pretending to believe to justify their actions. I would say this, Jim, if ever that notion was debunked, it should have happened in Dallas. I think that the police in Dallas, under those circumstances, showed incredible discipline and restraint. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that could have gotten even uglier than it did. I think they did a pretty good job in how they handled that. And you're right. This is it's ludicrous what this whole movement is about. I think, like you were saying, these people are inherently thuggish in their behavior. This is a thug heyday. They're getting paid by the MoveOn.org and all these George Soros foundations. And we got to remember, there is an end game that these people are looking for. And you're right, they don't give a hang about Alton Sterling or Michael Brown or anybody else. They really don't care. These are people that have been terrorizing them in their own neighborhoods also. All they want to do is use it as a forum to usher in change that is going to make life intolerable, not only for cops, but for people in general. They're talking about federalizing police again, because this is absolutely what they want. Federalizing police would never make anything better. I mean, look at when you have federalized police, you have situations like Waco, Ruby Ridge, the Lavoie-Finicum assassination. So federalized police does not make anything better. And what do they think a federalized police is going to do all of a sudden? Somebody puts a federal badge on and all of a sudden they're not going to shoot a black suspect when he tries to shoot him? See, this is almost childlike behavior, childlike. It's a childlike movement. But, you know, if we didn't know that they were being paid, we'd say there has to be something else going on. But they're being paid, and you're right. This is inherently in most of these blacks to just riot, loot, and given any reason, even if there's not a reason, to simply act out and blame whites for all their failings. Now, I know from being a cop, and I've been in every dangerous situation possible. I mean, I worked through the times when the Black Liberation Army was actively assassinating cops everywhere, from New York, Newark, everywhere. They even put a hit on my life. It certainly didn't change anything. We never called for federalizing police. We never called for disarming Americans. We just attacked the situation. Whenever... Let's say a city like Chicago today, if that was in my city during the 80s, what we would have done, because the 80s was, believe it or not, most people don't realize, the crime was much...
Hold on right there, Jim. Jim, I hate to interrupt you, but we are coming up on a break. I want you to continue that line of thought and explore it further when we come back. Stay tuned.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is Mercy, It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right. You know, I was talking with someone last night about this, and we were looking back throughout American history all the way up until about the middle part of the 20th century, the mid-1900s. All the way up to that point, you could control America, not control America, but keep lawlessness in check with a county sheriff and maybe a few beat cops. Even in big cities like New York, you had beat cops. You had, well, maybe not New York, but you with major cities, beat cops just walking in the streets. They kept law and order. But here's the thing. Back in up until the 1950s and 60s, you had a racially homogenous, high-trust American society. And as America has become increasingly diverse and increasingly multicultural, the results have been predictable. We always say you cannot have a first-world nation with a third-world population. And I'm sorry, not for what I'm saying. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. I am sorry that that is the tragic reality of the situation. This is where we are now in America. After years of anti-white, anti-common sense policies, the chickens have come home to roost, and the results have really been predictable, I say again. And you were talking, Jim, in the, before the last break, if you were still a police officer, I was going to ask you, if you were still an officer, what do you do? I mean, surely the morale of law enforcement has to be completely gutted and demoralized to see the media and the government throwing in behind this terrorist group, this domestic terrorist group, Black Lives Matter. Police officers have to, you would imagine, go to work and just pray that they don't get a call. Pray, you know, these police officers were there to protect the demonstrators, and they got killed for it. They were there to protect their rally. To go out and protest right. Their nonsense, and they get shot. I don't understand. It would have to be awfully hard to get up and go to work knowing that your own government doesn't support you. Your media doesn't support you. The citizens support you. And I've gone out of my way to go up to police officers. I've been on the road this week. I've never done this in my life. Go up to police officers anywhere I've seen them throughout my travels over the course of the last week and shake their hand and talk to them. Cops know what's going on, Jim. Continue your thought that you were making before the break, if you can remember it, and share with me too. Have you talked with members of the law enforcement community that are still active and their thoughts on these things?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm in constant contact with officers from all over the country, from sheriff's departments to big city departments. Morale has never been lower. I can never think that morale could have ever been lower with police today as it is now. There's a lot of confusion. And like I was going to say before, old school policing is what's needed. This community policing is failing. Everything that they thought would make a difference, hiring black police chiefs, predominantly black police departments, black police unions, it doesn't make a difference. It's worse because people may not want to hear it because they think it's old-fashioned, but you know what? Like you said, sometimes old-fashioned works. In the beat cop, the walking cop, you know, New York City did have a lot of beat cops. They had guys twirling nightsticks. Bridgeport had it. Newark, all the big cities had the guys that walked the street, old-school cops. You go there, you handle a call, you were the authority, you made the decision. Sometimes you had to crack a few heads. Sometimes you did have a large crowd. This crowd mentality where they're throwing bricks and stuff and taking shots at cops is nothing new, but we handled it back then. We handled it. Sometimes it only took two or three, four or five, six cops, dispersed crowds, and that was the end of it. You know, I know we're dealing with a different perspective today, but it's still old school policing is what's needed. And yes, cops are very confused. A lot of the cops I talk to don't even want to do it anymore. They don't want to put their 20 or 25 years in. They don't think they're going to make it, not just within the danger aspect of it, but politically. They think that everything they try to do, any little thing they try to do to enforce the law to keep people safe is just going to come with some type of retribution, some racial retribution, especially if they're white. In fact, only if they're white. And yes, it's a sad day when a cop is more worried about having a repercussion racially for doing his job than fearing for his safety. And I know a lot of cops are putting their lives at risk because of this Black Lives Matter movement and with the backing of the president and Lynch and all this by giving them credence because, you know, nobody would hesitate to protect their lives, but if you wait one more split second to make that decision because you have a second thought, because you're worried about, a political backlash, you could be dead, and you may not come home.
Hey, Jim, you steal my thunder. As you say that, that's exactly what I wanted to impress upon the audience is that, and you've already seen that in some cases. I remember a police officer that got his head bashed in because he hesitated, because you know this has to be planted in the back of their minds now. Well, if the suspect's black and I take action, and of course all of these police officers, even in the Baltimore situation with Freddie Gray, all of these police officers have been exonerated. All of them have been cleared. They have done no wrong. From the officer, Darren Wilson and Ferguson, and all of their actions have been justified, but their lives are ruined forever. Even if they take the action and protect themselves and follow the rules of engagement and are eventually cleared, they're still having to go through hell. There's going to be a mark on them for the rest of their lives. And so you are going to have instances. And these are probably instances that we'll never know of, because these instances, of course, aren't going to make the news. But you're going to have police officers hesitate for fear of political fallout, fear of having to go before a grand jury, fear of being called a racist, and they're going to end up dead because of that. And we go from the beat cop from the mid-1900s to now you're having to use robot assassins, robot wielding bomb machines, just like you would see in third world nations. This is what you would see in a war zone. This is the kind of stuff you think would take place in Afghanistan. And the police, I share your lamentations about a militarized police force, but they almost have to be militarized because you can't contain the threat anymore, because the threat is everywhere. It's almost like a guerrilla war zone we're entering into. And so with that, with only a minute or two remaining, Jim, what happens next in your opinion? Should Trump not win and crack down and give authority back to the authorities, as it were? What does this country look like after 4 or 8 years of Hillary Clinton continuing to sanction Black Lives Matter?
Well, then you'll end up with a federalized, militarized police force treating everyone like a thug. To be brief, We don't need militarized police. We need specialized units to handle special situations. But they're creating a scenario on the streets that if we militarize the police and treat everybody like a conquered foe, all of a sudden we're gonna end racism and crime. That's a fallacy. It's what they want, and it's what should be avoided. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't use a specialized unit, but look, even with all the militarized police Dallas has, they still used a robot and a bomb. Where was all their tactical guys? Why didn't they stun grenade them or smoke them out? I mean, come on. See, this is always something they want to step up. And if you let cops do the job without ridiculous repercussions, listen, when I was a cop, I got plenty of racial complaints. Every good cop gets complaints against them. But I was exonerated. I never lost a holiday, never was reprimanded in any way because they were all baloney. But this is part of what a cop goes through. Everything you do is tainted with some type of racial lie because they just know that they're going to get some type of they're going to be listened to, or they'll discredit the officer in some way. It's an old trick. There's nothing new here. That's why it's good to talk to some of the guys that have been out there in the past, because you know we know this is nothing new. They're just using it old tricks on new people. But without Trump in there, with Hillary Clinton in there, this country is gone. It will be gone. The only possibility for this country, if she gets in, is secession.
That's the final word, because we're out of time, but there couldn't be anything you could say that would be more of a cherry on top of the icing than that. I agree. I think if Hillary gets in for 4 to 8 years, any hope of resolving our problems through the current system is out the window. And it may be too late now, but it would certainly be too late then. Downtown White Police is the book. Order it tonight, Amazon.com. Jim Lancia, thank you, brother. We'll talk to you next time. Stay tuned, everybody.
Thanks, James. Thanks.
Your daily Liberty News Wire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
When police kill innocent people without justification, the NRA and other defenders of the Second Amendment are to blame, asserts New York Daily News columnist Gersh Kuntzman. In a country where law-abiding citizens are encouraged to protect themselves with guns, police increasingly assume every person they stop is indeed armed, writes Kuntzman. Anytime a cop answers a 911 call, he now has to assume everyone in his immediate view, the good guy, the bad guy, and even the innocent bystanders, has a gun, he continues. So the incident inevitably escalates. Kuntzman, who was severely traumatized by the recent experience of firing a .22 caliber rifle, carefully avoided mentioning several recent incidents in which armed citizens, acting as first responders, saved lives by intervening with defensive lethal force when armed criminals attacked or threatened innocent people. They removed Saddam Hussein, but they didn't think about the consequences of doing so, Iraqi shopkeeper Salman Hussein, no relation to the late dictator, complained to the London Daily Mail. Referring to the U.S.-led invasion and occupation of Iraq, Hussein declared that they did not plan for the future and we are now living in a destroyed country. The British newspaper sought the reaction of ordinary Iraqis to the findings of the Chilcot inquiry regarding the decision of former British Prime Minister Tony Blair to support the war. I have only one thing I want to ask those who invaded Iraq, if they can manage to repair this country back to the way it was before, added another man, a Christian resident of Erbil, who identified himself only as Albert. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. As I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, a few days ago, we were all set to have one of our fellow nationalists from the United Kingdom come on the program to help us celebrate Brexit and to offer a firsthand accounting of what's going on over there from the perspective of an Englishman, and then, as I mentioned a moment ago, diversity and multiculturalism manifested itself in Dallas, and here we are. Of course, in the first hour, you heard from former television news reporter Sean Bergen, who broke down the facts of this story and offered his take on the media's treatment of the Dallas mass murders. You just heard from former police officer Jim Lancia, a career cop who wrote the book Downtown White Police, available on Amazon.com, to offer his take on the tragedy from a member of the law enforcement community. And now we have our very good friend Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance magazine. He's on with us tonight to help us explore in greater detail the racial angle of what took place in Dallas. Jared and his team, his staff at American Renaissance, has published a must-read article entitled "The Dallas Killings Were Inevitable." Jared, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure.
Well, I wish it were a more pleasurable story we were covering tonight, but break down your article, some of the highlights that you would like the audience to take away from it this evening. The Dallas Killings Were Inevitable, at Amarin.com.
The point of the article, really, is that our politicians and media in particular have built up such hysteria against the police, particularly among blacks, that this kind of action really was inevitable. And it's important to realize that this is by no means the first time. Back in December of 2014, I think a lot of people have forgotten about this, but there were demonstrators from Black Lives Matter marching through Manhattan, and they were shouting, "What do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them? Now." And just 1 week, exactly 1 week after that, this black fellow by the name of Ismail Brinsley walked up to two policemen in a patrol car and shot them execution style in the back of the head. They probably never saw him coming. This was an incident that was clearly, according to this guy's Facebook profile, he was one of these people who, just like the killer this time in Dallas, Micah Johnson, was all hopped up about all of this anti-cop rhetoric, and he thought he'd take some of it into his own hands. So this is not the first time. It will not be the last.
I don't like it, but one of the things you put in there, and you really hit the nail on the head, you have all of these chronic malcontents on Facebook and at universities coming up with this absolutely nonsensical, I don't even know if they really believe it, but what they say is, and as you quoted this one individual, Judith Butler at UC Berkeley, that blacks are targeted and hunted by a police force that is becoming increasingly emboldened to rage its race war. And you write, of course, that these idiots, as you appropriately identify them as, have it completely backwards. There has not been a single case of a white policeman attacking an innocent black civilian. It was the Dallas police who were shot like animals. It was the Brooklyn officers who were targeted and hunted. It was Micah Johnson in Dallas and Lakeem Scott in Bristol, Tennessee. That was just another event, ladies and gentlemen, we haven't even gotten to yet this evening, who want the race war. So these are the facts of the matter, Jared, but yet you have an Obama administration, you have a president and an attorney general and their lapdogs in the media that are pushing this narrative that these people are entirely justified, not the murderers, but the Black Lives Matter group that spawned them is completely justified, and of course it's just one or two deranged individuals that are making the rest of them look bad. But no, you go to their comments, and it's ubiquitous. I'm not going to say every single one of them 100% want blood and carnage of whites on the streets, but a damn lot of them do. Yes. So where do we go from here, Jared?
Well, that's an excellent question. I don't see a good way out. The media continues to beat this drum of inveterately racist white police, even when the police involved in some of these shootings and deaths aren't even white. It's still racist white people, and they're stirring black people up as if they needed any stirring to hate whites and in particular white police. To me, one of the consequences of this is going to be that white policemen are just going to get out of the business. Anybody who's got brains and anybody who's got skills that could be used elsewhere is going to say, to heck with this. My life could be ended. My career could be over if I just do what even looks like a slightly wrong thing. What we're going to end up with is affirmative action hire black and Hispanic police officers who are going to be much worse at tracking down criminals. Criminals are going to be emboldened when police pull back. They will kill more of each other. They'll kill more of us. I don't see a good way out for this. And what has astonished me as much as anything, I suppose I shouldn't have been astonished, given what happened after the execution-style killing of those two Brooklyn cops in 2014, the death, this horrible massacre of white police officers in Dallas hasn't stopped the Black Lives People Matter at all. They're still demonstrating. It hasn't. They've just taken it in stride. You'd think, well, gosh, did we perhaps have anything to do to contribute to an atmosphere in which these guys got killed? Maybe that's what they want. Maybe they're happy. But it hasn't stopped their appetite. They're still running around saying, hands up, don't shoot. Now, to me, this hands up, don't shoot thing, I mean, ironically, that is the very thing the demonstrators were firing when this guy opened fire. Hands up, don't shoot. Bang, bang, bang. Well, of course, hands up, don't shoot is a pure crock of baloney, because that was the myth about Michael Brown in Ferguson, that he was this innocent guy shot down in the street by a rogue white cop. But these Black Lives Matter people still at least pretend to believe that. I suppose they do believe that, that he was just slaughtered, just like Trayvon Martin was slaughtered. Eric Garner was slaughtered. Freddie Gray was slaughtered. They have this completely mistaken, utterly fantasy view of what's going on in the United States.
Your last paragraph in this article, and let me tell you something, folks, this article entitled again, "The Dallas Killings Were Inevitable," at Amarin.com tonight, it's the top featured article. It is the single best article that has been written covering the horrific events in Dallas. It's chock full of facts and statistics, as any American Renaissance piece always is, but also with incredibly good commentary. The last couple of sentences read, and as you just mentioned, Jared, I'll repeat, "Many blacks and some whites are so blinded by anti-white animus that they cannot see the truth. The police will disengage. Black criminals will get more violent. They will kill more of each other, and they will kill more of us. It will be a long, hot summer." And as you mentioned, they have taken this in stride. You had an incident in Bristol, Tennessee, where a black man who was seeking to kill white people was shooting at them, killed one woman. In Valdosta, Georgia, a black placed a phony 911 call. When the police arrived, he ambushed them. In Tupelo, Mississippi, you've got gangs of blacks saying that they're going to go out and kill white people. In Minnesota, there were other incidents. Of course, Dallas, Baton Rouge, there's lawlessness in the streets. This is becoming an American epidemic. This is nationwide now. It's no longer isolated incidents like in Ferguson and in Baltimore with a few months in between. It may now become something that is just a never-ending cycle. One just bleeds into the next. What does this say about the state of race relations in Barack Obama's America in July of 2016, Jared?
Isn't that ironic? You know, I remember 8 years ago, right about the time of his inauguration, I was on a radio program, and I was debating a sociologist from Yale. And this sociologist was talking about how this is a transformational event in American history. Everything is going to change. Now, if you cast your mind back to the inauguration, 2009, that's the way people were talking. They thought that America's racial past has been completely purged. It's going to be a new day. I said, no, no, get over it. The fact that we have a black president doesn't mean that black people are going to suddenly start getting married before they have children. It doesn't mean they're going to stop shooting each other. It doesn't mean that white people are suddenly going to want to have black and Hispanic Mexican neighbors. None of those things is going to change. It won't make a bit of difference. It's a huge symbolic fact. But on the ground, race relations will not change. And I remember the host accused me of bad faith. You can't talk this way. It was a heresy. Of course, I was right.
There's always some feeling of justification when one is proven right, although, again, we're talking about common sense here, that this should even be debated shows how pathetic America is. We have one more segment with the great Jared Taylor right after this. Radio Network.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Welcome back to Get On The Show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Back with the one and only Jared Taylor this Saturday evening, July the 9th, covering a situation in Dallas that should have been entirely avoidable. And I think that you have to put If all white Southerners and white Southern culture was to blame for Charleston, there has to be some level of responsibility placed at the feet. And of course, that was not the case. In this case, though, responsibility on some levels must fall at the feet of Barack Obama and Loretta Lynch and that administration for encouraging the Black Lives Matter rallies. They call them peaceful protests. I haven't seen one that's actually been peaceful yet. But I saw, Jared, I made these points, brought up these points with some previous guests, but I'd like to repose them to you because I think they bear, they're worth repeating. Obama in Warsaw, Poland, at a NATO speech said today that America is not as divided as people like to think. I don't think it's ever been more divided. Even in Lincoln's war, the war between the states, there was still some level of respect for the other side. I think America has never been more divided in its history. And I was talking also with one of the previous guests that up until the 1950s, even in the 1960s, when you had a racially homogenous white society, a high trust society, law enforcement was pretty much handled by beat cops just walking the streets with the baton. That was enough to keep everything in check for the ne'er-do-wells. Now you have to have a militarized police force sending in robot assassins like you'd see in a third world hellhole, some war zone, because this is where we are now. Anything that I said there that you'd like to comment on? And I'd also like to give you the opportunity, Jared, to offer the audience some of your most important takeaways from what we've seen in the last week in this country.
You know, I wasn't living in the United States in the 1960s at the time of the race riots. My guess is that when all the cities were blowing up in 1968, 67, 69, that period, there might have been more hostility between the races. I just don't know. It's hard to say. But certainly not since then have we been in this utter deadlock in terms of how black people and white people see the world. To me, one of the most extraordinary things is that the facts simply don't matter to most blacks and to a certain number of camp-following whites. I was in a debate at Kentucky State University with a black professor, and I began to explain to the audience what had actually happened in the Michael Brown case. And they started shouting and wouldn't even let me finish. They didn't even want to hear the facts. And what is happening now with these latest pair of people who have been shot, to Alton Sterling and Philandro Castile, we get the first version of what happened. And the first version is, okay, these guys were shot by racist cops. And then what may later turn out, that just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The black people got this notion that Trayvon Martin was shot down like a dog, that Michael Brown was shot down like a dog, like Eric Garner was strangled to death by the police. They get this idea in their heads, and then what subsequently comes to light does not make a bit of difference. And when you have two groups of people who see the same things and then come away with a completely different conception of what happened, we need a divorce. It doesn't work. You can't live with people like that. You simply cannot. To me, it's quite fascinating the way John Derbyshire has kind of come around to that point of view. His conclusions over the last few weeks, he's got a great article on VDare. His point is, look, it's just hopeless. You cannot live with people who look at the sky and say the sky is green. It's hopeless. I don't know what the solution is, but I think ultimately more and more white people are going to realize blacks are just folks that we cannot reason with them and arrive at some sort of mutually acceptable conclusion.
Well, I agree with that. The problem is, of course, that even though I am firmly of the opinion that most white people see things the way we do, they aren't quite ready to give up football and beer on the weekends. And certainly if they stick their neck out, as you and I have done, they're going to get called the R word. And that's just a price too dear for them to pay. And until the white community at large stands up, not to oppress other people or to take away the rights and freedoms of other people, but just to maintain a first world nation, to maintain law and order, until somebody does that, it's going to continue to slip. And people say every year, every cycle, this is the most important election in American history, or this is the election that they're going to suspend elections. I think this time, Jared, one of those two things may very well happen. I think at the very least, this could be the most important turn in presidential politics. Peter Brimelow was on this program a couple of months ago, and he said that whites could still, even though our demographic numbers are falling demographically, whites could still elect a president X number of years into the future if they would vote as a bloc. But of course, in order to do that, you'd have to have a candidate that would actually be willing to do something for that base, which until Trump, at least in some facets, we haven't had since maybe George Wallace. But in this case, do you think Trump won the election on Thursday, or has American society become so numb, so vapid, so disconnected? I asked this of a previous guest, but I'd like your take, that we think about this for a couple of weeks and then we go back to shopping. What's your take on that?
I would go back to that incident with the two policemen who were executed in Brooklyn. I would bet you, if you were to ask Americans in a random poll, I would bet you that 90% don't even remember that, haven't even heard of it, don't even think about it.
Good point.
And yes, and no, a lot of things can happen between now and November, but people will put this out of their minds. They move on. It's very difficult for people to really have a sense of the history of this. And again, I'm struck by just the moral obtuseness, or the outright confidence that they know they will never be criticized, of these Black Lives Matter people. They don't miss a beat. Here we have five police officers gunned down in cold blood, and they're still out on the streets demanding, I don't know, I wonder if they're chanting, what do we want now, dead cops? It wouldn't surprise me. This doesn't slow them down in the slightest.
Well, that's certainly what they're saying on social media. I mean, that's certainly it's all over the place. You can't miss it. But yet none of those people are getting investigated or looked into. And I'll tell you another thing, and this has again been brought up earlier, but this is something that has to be said again. The Democratic Party has put support of Black Lives Matter into their official platform. So this is it. I mean, this is it. Hillary is going to be a continuation of this. And forget it about it being open season on whites. It's open season on white police officers. Open season on white police officers. What chance do the citizens have? This is going to become, as they get more encouraged and more emboldened by the quasi-sanction that they've received from the government and the media, America could turn into South Africa rather quickly.
Oh, I think there are all the ingredients prepared for this, certainly if Hillary is elected president. One of the points that I made in this article that we put together at American Renaissance about the Dallas shootings is the fact that after they were over, there was a statement issued by Debbie Wasserman Schultz of the Democratic National Committee in connection with one of their blacks who was on that committee. And it was supposed to be a commentary about the Dallas shooting. Two-thirds of it, three-quarters of it, is about these alleged police shootings. That's what it's all on and on and on and on about. And then it finally says, Dallas is unacceptable, but it's the result of not having addressed the tensions. The whole statement is, in effect, a justification of what Micah Johnson did.
Yep.
I was flabbergasted by that. I would have thought the Democratic National Committee would have had some sense of perspective on this and would have put out a statement condemning the killings and leaving it at that. But no, they've got to, in effect, justify.
Well, and Jared, not to interrupt, but in this case, with it being so blatant and so in your face, this shooter said he was targeting white police officers, specifically targeting white police officers. I said, surely the shooting of 12 police officers, killed five, said in no uncertain terms he was aiming for whites, then maybe that is just so obtuse that it would cause the Democrats to at least take a pause. But no, Loretta Lynch doubled down on it. It's just the most bizarre thing.
That's exactly right. Well, see, this kind of action and this kind of attitude among the Democrats, among blacks, is just driving more and more white people into our arms. More and more white people see this and say, what? What? This guy deliberately guns down white police officers, and the Democrats are basically justifying this?
Black Lives Matter is not a hate group. They're not a domestic terrorist group. I haven't even heard the word hate crimes charged. Well, I guess you can't charge this guy. He's dead. But I haven't even heard this being referred to as a hate crime.
Nope.
Maybe it has been. I haven't seen it.
Nope. This was just a sort of a little bump on the road to post-racial America. Move along. Nothing important to see here. And we will stop hearing about this pretty soon. This will go down the memory hole like those two cops executed in Brooklyn. People mention it from time to time. In a way, you know, whenever something like this happens, I'm delighted when the perp is killed, because then we don't have to support him at government expense for the rest of his life, no trial. But I would like this to stay in the public memory for longer. And if he were alive, it would. But now it's completely swept under the rug.
Well, this one happens, and there are, of course, threats of the next assassination of whites and white police officers has already been promised. Jared, thank you for your time tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, support this man. Amren.com. Check out the article. Support Jared Taylor. He's one of the heroes. Thank you, Jared.